Hi, everyone. Welcome to Two Off the First for September the 29th, 2022. I'm Ryan Ballingy. Good to have you here with us. We are presented by our friends at French Lick Resort. We have a kind of legal-themed edition of the show, yet once again, some strange things happen in the world, and seemingly lately most of the most interesting or strange or captivating stuff in golf happens in a courtroom or in a virtual filing room, I suppose, in the case of Patrick Reed. So I guess we'll start with LIV, the LIV suit against the PGA Tour. And that's because at least it feels like it might go somewhere someday, although it also feels at the same time like it has no chance and will never go anywhere. And I say that, that conflicting statement, because three players have pulled out of the lawsuit that they filed, the original 11 that filed against the PGA Tour in a California court. And the three players that are left really aren't all that important to the proceedings of things. And it's Matt Jones, who's one of the guys who filed for an injunction against the PGA Tour so he could compete in the first leg of the FedEx Cup playoffs and for as long as he was eligible based on points. And you got Peter Uihlein in there, and you got Bryson DeChambeau in there. And those guys are still left. I mean, Bryson seems to have largely moved on with his life relative to LIV. I mean, he's too worried about hitting ropes, boundary ropes, inside the ropes, you know, that kind of thing. So I don't think that's his biggest concern. Peter Uihlein seems to be doing fine. He plays okay enough golf on the LIV Tour and played okay in, I believe, one of the International Series events. So he's making money. He was really never relevant on the PGA Tour to begin with. He doesn't have much of a history on the PGA Tour. So, you know, keep earning that money, bud. And Matt Jones, I honestly forgot for a while that he was on either tour. And so obviously haven't heard a whole lot from him. So those guys are gone. Or those are the ones remaining. But you've got Phil Mickelson who's out. You've got Ian Poulter who left. You got Taylor Gooch who walked out. Hudson Swafford walked out. Pretty much everybody else is out, right? So 8 of the 11 are gone from that suit. They've withdrawn. And Mickelson said at the LIV event in Illinois that he didn't feel the need to be a part of it anymore. That wasn't relevant to him. And then there was kind of this amateur lawyering, I suppose, on Twitter. And I wasn't part of it. I was playing golf when all of this kind of happened. But the amateur lawyers out there on golf Twitter said, oh, well, you know, Phil's going to get out of this lawsuit in the hopes that he doesn't get deposed if it continues to go. Well, then actual lawyers, and there are a bunch of them on golf Twitter, said, well, that doesn't necessarily get you much. If you look at legal proceeding, if you look at kind of just how all this works, and I can't cite chapter and verse, I'm not that well versed in it. I have about 6 credit hours of business law to my name, and that's really about it. But what they have basically said is, no, that this does not get Phil Mickelson out of being deposed because he is a very relevant and important part of this case and for several different reasons. So he could very easily be still deposed by the PGA Tour or by LIV or, you know, both as part of this suit. So that doesn't necessarily get him anything. So what is the rationale for continuing the lawsuit and what is the expected outcome at this point? So LIV wasn't originally in the suit. It was the 11 players. And I imagine, again, this is very amateur law here, but you have to have standing to sue, right? You can't just sue somebody and not have standing. You can't just make it totally frivolous for something that doesn't affect you, doesn't have a material effect on you. So the players sued the PGA Tour because they're members or because they have a relationship with the PGA Tour. And so they have benefits that they have lost or things they've lost access to because they are under current sanction from the PGA Tour. So that makes sense. They have standing. LIV didn't really have standing under that original guise, but then they added themselves to the lawsuit. Really, they could take over the lawsuit because now the lawsuit exists. Well, now they can take over because they exist. And so they can kind of try and take things on different grounds. They don't have to be involved. But they also may have just gotten bad legal advice that you could have the players start the suit, LIV comes in, they all withdraw, and then the players themselves don't have to be involved in deposition or really any of the intricate parts of the actual trial, which, by the way, wouldn't start until sometime in 2024. But based on that kind of thinking, that none of that really adds up. So if Liv's just going to continue the suit and cost the PGA Tour legal fees, okay, well, we've got a summary judgment hearing sometime in July 2023, and then we'll have the actual case in 2024. There will be tons of motions filed in the interim. And oh, by the way, yesterday, the PGA Tour countersued Liv. And the brilliance of it is that the PGA Tour obtained somewhat redacted, at least to the public, versions, and not so much to them, versions of the player agreements that the players in the suit were involved with. So we got a look, and you can see it at golfnewsnet.com, that you can get a look at the player agreements that Taylor Gooch and Hudson Swafford signed, and in different versions of it. So you have kind of the general player agreement, then you have the player-specific player agreement, and you get a really good idea of, and the lawyers have a better idea because they have a much less redacted version, of what the language in those contracts says, what the players who sign with Liv can and cannot do, when they signed, how long they're with them, how much money they're making, all of this stuff. And Judge Beth Freeman, who oversaw the injunction hearing, the emergency injunction hearing, the temporary restraining order hearing, and she basically kind of said, look, these are really restrictive contracts for Liv. They're way more restrictive than anything the PGA Tour offers its players or requires its players to sign to participate. And so the PGA Tour then turned right around as soon as they got that document and probably started figuring out their countersuit, because now they had the language that they needed to understand what the players were signing onto with Liv, how the negotiating process went, whether Liv was interfering with the PGA Tour's business model. Basically a countersuit, well, you say we're interfering with you, well, it's actually the other way around. You're interfering with us because you did this, this, and this. So I still have to read through all of the pages of the suit, and I'll do that later today. The system is called PACER, the federal government filing system. It is absolutely awful. It is amazing that we still have it. I think we've been using it for 30 years as a country. I've been using it for the better part of 20, just sleuthing around as an interested human being, particularly in golf-related stuff. It's still as awful as it's ever been. So I'm going to look through the suit. We'll talk about it maybe on another show. But I think the intrigue here is that the PGA Tour went into this set of hearings, you know, especially around the TRO, the temporary restraining order, and then subsequently negotiating with the Liv lawyers about getting the contracts, because that was material. I mean, they were going to get it anyway. But then they got it and said, okay, now that we know, we're going to sue you back. And here's what we're going to do. So this isn't going anywhere, right? Obviously, it's not going anywhere because we just opened a new chapter of it. But again, we're in this place in golf where so much stuff is just taking place away from the golf course. And it is very frustrating as a golf fan, I think, to probably have to deal with that. And it's not like we're not interested in it. I mean, I'm naturally inclined to be interested in this kind of stuff anyway. So I'm talking about it. I may have maybe a little bit more muted point of view on it, but I have a point of view on it. And that's obviously a headline driving thing because it's something that'll catch your attention instead of what some guys do in the first stage of DP World Tour Q School, which is, by the way, really interesting, but probably doesn't draw the same eyeballs by just shouting stuff from the top of the mountain. And then you've got, conversely, or maybe parallel, really, which is the other part of today, you've got Patrick Reed, who had sued Brandel Chamblee, Golf Channel, NBC Sports, Comcast, whatever, for defamation. And he did that last month. And if you follow me on Twitter, you know I ridiculed the suit relentlessly for a couple of hours, just reading through it, the zany stuff that was included in the filing. And I mean, just something written so poorly that it would be thrown out of court almost on those grounds alone, just that level of ridiculousness, that it was a frivolous lawsuit. And that actually is, there's legal standing. I mean, there's legislation basically that you can't file those kinds of frivolous lawsuits and remain a lawyer, remain a recognized lawyer. And so yeah, that was kind of that level of ridiculousness. And so last night, I was kind of getting ready for a trip that has now since been canceled. I was going to go to Kiowa, and obviously with Ian and everything that's happening, that got canceled. But amid all of that, and trying to figure out what was going to happen next, we got this news from, I believe it was The Athletic that did this, Brendan Quinn, who reports on golf for them, and I believe he also does stuff with the Golfers Journal, and he said, well, you know, Reed has withdrawn his lawsuit. Oh man, what a shame. I would have loved to have seen that go all the way. Can you imagine deposing Patrick Reed? Oh, it would be content for years, not just days, years of content on Patrick Reed. However, he withdrew that lawsuit, which was filed in a Texas federal court, to move it to a file in a Jacksonville, Florida federal court, because I guess that's where the PGA Tour is based. I really don't understand the point of that. Maybe they hope to find a better judge. I assume that's the rationale for this, because the PGA Tour, yes, is in the Jacksonville area. Maybe Golf Channel's Orlando headquarters is covered by this particular court. Its geographic jurisdiction, I'm not sure. I will look into that a little bit later. But the suit is now expanded. It's the same suit. I mean, nothing's really changed. But maybe some large typographical errors have been improved. However, the suit is fundamentally the same. And they have now expanded who they're suing. So not only is it just Brandel Chamblee as an individual named in the suit, now Shane Bacon has been added, Damon Hack, and Emma Lynch. And those three folks, Shane doesn't really do this anymore, but hosts Golf Today, which is kind of the preeminent talk show that they have on the station. And they're now saying that, you know, all of these guys are committing, are complicit in what they have accused Chamblee of, you know, running down Patrick Reed to a degree that it would qualify as defamation. He still wants $750 million, which of course is not going to happen. And really all it is just a change of venue, I guess, to try to find a better judge. But Larry Klayman is Patrick Reed's lawyer, and he founded Judicial Watch. He has sued his own mother. He has sued his own company. He's a guy who likes a good frivolous lawsuit and has said some really crazy stuff in his life. And done some crazy things, legally speaking. It doesn't really mean that this is going to go forward or that it's not going to get thrown out or anything like that. Just what seemed like, he realized the error of his ways and was going to withdraw the lawsuit. Instead, no, he's not withdrawing it. He thinks he's got a better chance in Jacksonville. So still plenty to come there. We might still get that deposition. God, I hope we get that deposition. When that day comes, might be one of the best days in the history of golf Twitter, or any kind of golf social media. But there's the update to that piece of it. And then one final thing, I guess it's not technically a story, or maybe the legal stuff is one story, just for the, you know, the sake of the construct of the podcast. But the other relevant piece of information that we have not talked about in the show in the last couple of days, and this week has been kind of crazy. I had a charity tournament on Monday, had a really important golf outing on Tuesday, out of nowhere, got to see a friend who was in town out of nowhere on Wednesday. You know, very strange week for me. So we didn't do too much of the podcast. But Eamon Lynch, the freshly sued Eamon Lynch, is reporting and has reported that LIV is going to have a television deal for their next the first season of the LIV Golf League. And Greg Norman has put it out there, you know, we're talking to broadcast, we're talking to at least four networks, and they're all very interested, and it's everything's great. As we pointed out on this show, Greg Norman is often full of it. Most of the time he is full of it. You cannot take anything he says at face value until you actually see a contract. You see something tangible presented to you that has been countersigned. However, so Lynch has reported the TV deal that LIV is going to have is going to be with Fox Sports 1. So it'll be under the Fox banner, but it is a time buy on Fox Sports 1. And if you don't know what that means, let me explain briefly. It is exactly what it sounds like. Basically, when you buy when you see an infomercial on TV, that is a time buy. The organizers of that infomercial or whoever does the time buy contracts with the station, says we want these time slots, you know, whatever they are. And for those 30 minutes or an hour or whatever it is, we own the station. We get to run what we want. We can take no commercials or commercials. If we take commercials, we are going to sell them and we recoup the revenue against what we purchased the time for. And that's kind of how we have access to the you know, TV, to distribution. And Back Nine Network, if you remember that back in the day, about a decade ago, did the same thing with DirecTV. They effectively did a station buy. They went to DirecTV and said, we are willing to pay to have our station on your system. And they said, okay, well, you're going to pay us $7 million a year to have a station in standard definition sprung up for you. You control the inventory. You control the time. And you can sell some of it back to us if you can't sell it. You can't sell the advertising, which is ultimately what they did a lot of. Because they only had, what, a handful of hours of programming a day, and the rest was either reruns or time sold back to DirecTV for infomercials. So that idea is being applied here for LIV. What Lynch is reporting is that LIV is going to buy time on Fox Sports at certain dates for certain periods of time. They then would own that time frame, that whatever it is on those dates, you know, the 4 or 5 hours where they would run their telecast. They would control the commercial inventory, presumably, although that could be worked out. And they could sell it to whoever they could sell it to. Now, there's no visible corporate support that I have seen for LIV Golf. It has all been branded LIV. It's all been done by LIV under the LIV banner. I haven't even seen anything for Saudi-owned companies at LIV events based on what I've seen so far. But that could change, of course. So there's that piece of it. And LIV, Lynch reported, wanted to have a guaranteed rights deal for the second year. So they said, hey, we're willing to buy the time in year one, but you got to pay us back in year two. And basically get us on this kind of standard operating procedure for sports leagues where we get paid by you for giving you the content. And LIV said, or Fox Sports said, no, we're not doing that. And they also said that they would not agree to a guaranteed time slot every week that they had a tournament. That basically you get what you get, because they have made, Fox Sports has made tremendous billions of dollars of commitments to different sports leagues, professional and amateur, or professional and collegiate, at pretty much every level of every sport in the United States, in Europe, even in Australia in some cases with their AFL, which is footy content, Australian rules football content. I mean, they make these commitments. They're years out, and all of a sudden, LIV is trying to kind of find a spot for themselves in a very busy calendar for Fox. And to be clear, there really is no other potential partner here, not at a respected level, right? You could go to a weaker network or a smaller network, but the embarrassment of doing that probably would be too much to bear for Norman and LIV. So this is really your only option. You buy the time, or you don't do it. And I think the intrigue to me, I mean, most average people aren't going to understand or care what a time buy is. They'll say that it's on TV, and it is. Mission accomplished, right? However, and I was talking about this with someone in the industry yesterday, what if the ratings stink? And they probably will, because nobody watches Fox Sports 1 except for like MLB games. Maybe some European soccer. I think they have Bundesliga still. Maybe they don't anymore. But at least they did. And so those are really the only things that draw on that channel. And you're going to tell me that they're going to be able to draw a significant audience compared to that? I don't think so. I don't think it's going to be that much better or different than YouTube. The broadcast is fundamentally the same. It is what it is. So they may do slightly better just by people turning the channel, but I don't even think people channel surf anymore. I mean, you know what you're watching. You know what you want to be tuned into, whether that's a platform or whether you've got cable or not, or you just watch stuff on your phone. That's where the world is going, even with golf's older audience. I don't know that this is really worth their money. I don't think that they're going to get a whole lot out of it. So the only question is, was there a legal requirement with agreements with players to do so? That's probably doubtful, but I guess it's possible that they had to have some kind of television distribution or be subject to a penalty that they had to pay the players additional money for not having that kind of access? Possible, but unlikely. Or is this just a hubris thing to say, we're on TV. We told you we'd be on TV. We're on TV. Now you got to deal with it. I really don't know. I just don't. But Liv then came out and talked to the Associated Press, issued a statement, said that Eamon's report is incomplete. I think they used another word, maybe inaccurate, but at least incomplete. And so they maintain that they're still negotiating with all these different networks, and there's so much interest in Liv that they can't stand it. No one can stand it. And that they're going to work out something soon. But at the end of the day, the likelihood is that they're doing a time buy. And they may be using that as this kind of rebuttal as a negotiating tactic, perhaps, with Fox to maybe get a better rate or maybe some kind of better relationship or something. I don't know. But I think it's pretty clear at this point, and Fox is pretty clear at this point. They're Liv's only hope. So they control all the cards. They can choose to air golf and get paid for it or not. It really doesn't matter to them. I don't think that it does. Other than the relationship that Norman has with, you know, Jared Kushner and Fox, and Jared Kushner when it was kind of assigned to go figure out something with Fox, and you know, maybe this is the best that he can do. You know, I really don't know where you go from here if you're Liv, if this doesn't work. This is your option, and then maybe you figure out a way to draw an audience to it, and then you get your money in year two, or you go somewhere else in year two. I don't know, but this seems like a very pigeonhole, very much a cornered group that has to figure out how they're going to fulfill a promise, and this is really the only way that they can do it. So, more to come on that. I guess we'll see what happens in the coming days and weeks, and whether this ultimately becomes a finalized deal, but whether it has anything to do with the next couple of events, the final events that they have this season for Liv. Still very much to be determined on that front as well. All right, that's going to do it for us today on 2 at the First. Very exciting news for me. We finally will start GNM Radio, our project that I announced just about a year ago, so scary enough, with iHeartMedia. We will be going live on their digital channels. It'll be available on our website, on their app, CarPlay for Apple and Android Auto through their app, smart speakers, tune in for our international friends who don't get iHeart app or station, and then their TV app. I don't know why you listen to the radio on TV, but that is certainly a distinct option available to you. So that's coming next week. I will give you more details as that launches. I'm going to have really exciting content. We'll air this show. We'll air the press as part of that. I'm going to do a live hour each day called the Breakfast Bowl. Since my last name is Ballingy, Breakfast Bowl, Breakfast Ball. It'll kind of be like Colbert Report name, you know, if you get the drift of it, get the drift of the pun. And we'll have some other shows we're announcing. A whole lot of great content coming together for this. Very, very excited to finally get it off the ground. And hopefully you'll be among the first to know when it actually goes live. So that's coming in the next couple of days. I'll give you more updates on that as we go. All right, that's going to do it for us today. Thank you so much for listening, and we will talk to you tomorrow on 2 Off the First.